The reading this morning is from Mark 16, verses 9 to 11. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast several devils. And she went to him, she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not.
Well, we have a good audience again this morning, and I need to tell you, first of all, that I need to enlist your help. And the help that I need to enlist, not just for me, of course you understand, is for you to be sure that you come back tonight for worship. I think maybe I have mentioned from time to time that probably one of the hardest decisions that I have to make in the week is which sermon am I going to preach of the morning and which sermon am I going to preach at night. So I want to tell you what I'm going to preach about tonight. From time to time, and I appreciate it, there is a question that is put in the box in the foyer. And this is one I've received maybe about 2 weeks ago. Listen, and you can see what the gist of the question is. The writer says, I've never understood why people think playing the lottery is a sin. How about you? I've never seen why playing the lottery is any worse than buying a raffle ticket. Well, that's a pretty good way of thinking about it, hey? Some people say that it's because some people waste lots of money and can ruin their life in a failed attempt to become rich. However, overindulgence of other things can be just as bad for people, such as food, and cause physical and emotional ruin, and these things are not considered sin. I do not play the lottery because I don't want the appearance of evil in front of other Christians, but I don't know how it's actual sin. Come tonight and hear why playing the lottery is sinful. Okay? Now you know where I stand. Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene. Mark 16 and verse 9. When he arose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he's cast seven demons. Mary Magdalene is mentioned 13 times in our New Testament scriptures. We learn immediately a little bit about Mary Magdalene. She got her name from her hometown. She lived in Magdala, which is one of those towns on the west coast of the Sea of Galilee in the vicinity of Capernaum, and really not all that far from the village of Nazareth, which would be a little bit further west and maybe a little bit south of Magdala. We are told in our text that Brother Eva has read for us that our Lord had done a wonderful thing. He had cast out seven demons from this woman. She is presented in Scripture as being a follower of Jesus Christ. And those are the known facts that we can state in the very beginning. But poor Mary, I suppose there has never been an individual in all of history, Bible and secular, that has had more accusations brought against them. Who was Mary Magdalene? Well, to hear some people tell it, she was that prostitute that is mentioned in Luke, the 7th chapter, that had anointed the head and the feet of our Lord. To hear others talk about it, she is that woman that was taken in adultery, that is mentioned in John, the 8th chapter. Some, a little more favorably, get her mixed up with Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, who is mentioned in John chapter 11 and John chapter 12. And if you examine the cases closely of Luke 7, of the one anointing of our Lord, and the anointing by Mary of our Lord in John chapter 12, you will see that there was a year or more separating these two events. It should not strike you as being strange that there would be more than one person that would want to honor our Lord in this way through his lifetime. Have you seen the film yet, The Da Vinci Code? I don't intend to go. Have you read Robert's book, The Da Vinci Code? Well, Tebring, I think, probably the leading character, a fictitious character, is recorded as saying this: as I said earlier, the marriage of Jesus and Mary Magdalene, the marriage of Jesus and Mary Magdalene is part of the historical record. Oh, I've been reading history all of my life, and I've never read that historic record. He says again, Tebring says again, behold the greatest cover-up. Do you wonder what the Da Vinci Code is all about? Do you wonder what the Gospel of Judas is all about, or the Gospel of Thomas? The greatest cover-up in human history, not only was Jesus married, he was a father. He was a father. Just an individual, we're told, of a very human nature. He got married like men and women do today. He had physical children. He entered into all of those sexual relationships. Why the Da Vinci Code? Why these kind of statements? To undermine your faith in the Bible. Let's let the real Mary stand up. Who is Mary Magdalene? Well, the scripture tells us, and this is a true historical record now that you can check on, that you can go to, that you can identify, that you can confirm. Who was Mary Magdalene? She was a true disciple, a faithful disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first time we are introduced to Mary Magdalene is the record that is revealed here in Mark, the 16th chapter. She became a very personal acquaintance of the Lord Jesus Christ when Jesus healed her. Mary had 7 demons. Now you can wonder all you want to about what those demons were and what they caused her to do. But I want you to know that demons are not good. They're not good for the people back in the first century that were possessed with these demons. And the idea of there being 7 demons is telling us there was a multiple of these demons that were tormenting this poor woman. And our Lord Jesus, because he was the Son of God, because he had been given this great power, was able to cast these demons out. How thankful would you be to an individual that would be able to heal you in that way. It caused Mary Magdalene, as it would cause all of us, to believe in Jesus. To believe in Him not just as a miracle worker, to believe in Him not just as a great and wonderful physician of the body, but to believe that He was exactly what He said that He was, the divine Son of God. Others made that kind of confession while they were here on earth. In John the 11th chapter, you remember after Lazarus had died and Jesus after 4 days came to Bethany, to the home of Mary and Martha, where in just a short time He is going to call Lazarus forth from the grave. When Jesus reveals His intention to Martha, that He indeed is the resurrection and the life. In John 11 and verse 27, Martha says, "Yes, Lord, I believe that You are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." That kind of confession. The same kind of confession that the eunuch would have made when he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And the same kind of confession with her mouth that Peter would have made. But wait just a minute. Wait just a minute. Whenever you made that confession, and I think most of you here in the assembly, probably earlier in life, you had that kind of faith and you had that kind of courage to where you stood before an audience of people and you said to them, in effect, "I want you to know what I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Oh, there's so much involved in that statement. Do you know that's a lifelong commitment whenever you make that kind of statement? Maybe that is exactly why a lot of folks say, "I'm not going to do that." You think I'm going to commit my life to Jesus? What is involved, and I'm stating it in just a little different word, is to believe that Jesus has words of eternal life that we are to follow. Look with me then, if you will, at John chapter 6, because I want us to take just a moment to examine the wording of Peter's confession here that was reflected in the life of Mary Magdalene. Jesus, in verse 67, is facing a very sad situation where many of His followers, many of His disciples, have gone back and they will walk with Him no more. So He turns to the 12 and He says, "Will you also go away? Will you also go away?" Now, verse 68 of John 6, if you're with me. "But Simon Peter answered Him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we've come to believe and know that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Now, I want you to know that I've got a particular reason why I have emphasized the fact that involved in our faith that Jesus is the Son of God is a recognition of His words, of what He teaches. Well, I've heard a lot of folks shortchange our Lord. They say, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe everything he taught. Well, that's nonsense. That's nonsense. You can't do that. If you believe in Jesus, you believe what he taught. Now, what's my particular thrust here this morning about Mary Magdalene and Jesus? What did Jesus teach about sins of the flesh? Do you know? What in particular did he teach about fleshly lusts? Well, I look back at Matthew chapter 5. I notice in verse 27, he says, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. I'll tell you what's true about Christians. They don't commit adultery. They don't lust after one another. Marriage is recognized as a good and acceptable state before God. A disciple of the Lord Jesus will follow him faithfully. I'm not quite finished with this first point. Mary Magdalene demonstrated that she was a disciple of the Lord. Look over at Luke, the 8th chapter with me. Just a brief statement here is made. In Luke 8, verses 1 through 3, we're able to read this. Now it came to pass afterwards that he went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. When you take this in connection with other statements that the gospel makes, Jesus had men and women as disciples who followed him, and they took out of their own substance, their own money, in order to help him. Here is a group of women that we are going to find throughout the travels of our Lord during those 3 years and more when he was with them. And here are these fine ladies. They endure all of the hardships of traveling from place to place. Have you ever thought about where our Lord got money to eat and how they were sustained? These women, Mary Magdalene among them, are the ones that are helping him. There's something else in addition of what we have already said about Mary Magdalene being a faithful servant of the Lord. She saw Jesus die. She saw Jesus die. Have you ever thought about how those disciples of the Lord must have felt as they witnessed his death on the cross? Coming back to our text here in Mark, we notice in Mark chapter 15. In verse 37, Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. And then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out this and breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." And there were also women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph and Salome, who also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. What have you just learned? You said, well, there were a lot of people there at the cross. There were his enemies that were right there at the very foot of the cross, and they were mocking him and they were jeering and they were saying, "If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross." Do you remember that the disciples, after the death of Jesus, were apparently so afraid that they were only meeting in secret? Here is a group of women that were unashamed to associate themselves with the Lord. Unlike Peter, who said, "I know not the man," here are some women that are standing there and they are witnessing his death. What else? They followed Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus to see where the body of the Lord would be buried. Read on with me here in Mark chapter 15. Now when evening had come, verse 42. Now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God coming, and taking courage, went in to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. And then he brought fine linen, took him down, and wrapped him in the linen. And he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph observed where he was laid. Do you know where we are in our story? Who was Mary Magdalene? Well, she was one of many hundreds of people who, through Jesus healing her, through her hearing these words of our Lord, who through journeying with him for this long period of years, came to understand
Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Mary Magdalene knew some things that a lot of people today either do not know or they do not believe. But where are we right now? She has just witnessed the death of Jesus.
You say, well,
that takes care of it, doesn't it? Are you following with me? Here's a man who says, I'm the Son of God, and now he's dead. He's dead. They're going to bury him in a tomb. Mary and the other ladies, they witness and they see where he's laid. Has anybody told you recently Jesus didn't die? Those of the Islamic faith don't think he died on the cross. The Hindus for centuries, long before Brown ever wrote the Da Vinci Code, said Jesus just fainted. And he woke up and he got out of that tomb some way or other and he went to India and he married many wives. That's better than old Tiber, and he just has him marrying one wife. And it's all a lie. It's all a lie. What happened to this man who said, I am the Son of God, that was able to drive demons out of people, and he dies a criminal's death? He's dead. Mary Magdalene, did he really die? Oh, he's dead. He's dead. What did you see? I saw Joseph of Arimathea. I saw Nicodemus as they prepared the body. And they put him in a tomb. And there was a great big stone that was rolled against the tomb. And there were some soldiers that were placed there to guard that tomb. You know what's coming next, don't you? What else did Mary Magdalene witness? She witnessed the resurrection of Jesus. Do you remember what Brother Eva read for us there in Mark chapter 16? And verse 9, not only does it tell us the day in which Jesus arose, it says, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Mary saw the Lord. Verse 10, she went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. Now you can take up the reading and you can go ahead and read how Jesus appears to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. You can read John's Gospel, how he appears to Peter and John, the rest of the apostles. But do you know the truth of the matter, and do you know why you should believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Because of the witness and the testimony of this faithful disciple, Mary Magdalene. The Bible doesn't leave him dead. Doesn't leave him dead. God is going to testify to the truth. He is the divine Son of God. He is exactly what he claimed to be. He is all of that. And instead of Mary Magdalene being an adulteress, instead of her being a sinful woman, we find that she is a loyal and steadfast servant of our Lord. All right, we've read it once. Look over at John chapter 20. Let's start with verse 11 right now and read through 18. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." And when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And don't you know that she had heard that same voice many other times call her by name, Mary? And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni." Didn't she say husband? Didn't she say the father of my children? That's blasphemy, isn't it? Do you know what that book is? Do you know what that film is? Not just a work of fiction. It's blasphemy. Blasphemy. How old Ron Howard could have had a hand in the production of that film, I don't know. Rabboni, which is being interpreted to mean teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I've not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Now, I don't know about you. You yourself are going to have to make up your mind about this historic evidence. But I'll tell you, it convinces me. Oh, in one sense of the word, it's a minor thing about what people may believe about Mary one way or the other. But it's not a minor thing about what you believe concerning Jesus. That's not a minor thing at all. If you just look at him as some frail human being that claims something and he was sort of deluded and he was not really the divine Son of God, okay. Okay, that's one thing you can decide. You really don't have great choices. Did Mary tell the truth? Did she really see him die? I know she did. She saw where the tomb was. She saw where they laid him there. She came early on Sunday morning with some other women so they could anoint the body and prepare it further. When they got to the tomb was empty. Jesus appeared to her, calling her by name. And he said, "Mary, I don't want you holding on to me. I want you to go tell others." You know, that's what you got to do. You say, well, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, but bless your heart, I'm not going to tell anybody. Now bless your heart, you don't believe. And for every person who says, I would become a Christian if I did not have to confess Christ, you're just not ready. Your faith is so weak. If you don't have that kind of courage that Mary Magdalene had to just stand right up like a man or a woman and say, I want everybody in this room to know that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Your well-being here on earth depends on your decision. But your eternal life certainly depends on it. We sing a song to encourage you to make that right step now. Won't you come?